Welcome back to the Wildside News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
Despite the high cost of gas this weekend, nevertheless, at some point, you'll either be driving a car or riding in a car. And that's when I want you to do this. I want you to really feel just how long 2 miles is. Watch your odometer, and while it's creeping up to 2 miles, just sense how far that is. And when you've gone those 2 miles, I want you to turn that entire distance into ice, for as far as you can see, because that's how things are in Greenland. It's a lot of ice that's available, and it's melting, and we continue talking about it when your voice of the earth returns here on the Wild Side News. The Greenland ice sheet is revealing some unexpected threats to its stability, which have led to the doubling of the melt rate in the last 5 years. Our conversation with Dr. Jay Zwally continues. There's another factor which I think many glaciologists weren't really expecting to happen quite so soon. That has to do with the penetration of surface water down to a layer below the glaciers. That's quite an astonishing sort of new event in Greenland, isn't it?
Well, that's right, and that's what we learned by putting in these continuous GPS receivers up at the Swiss camp. We put in the receivers to see what would happen. Would there be any changes throughout the summer? Would there be any changes from year to year? And the first year that we put them had the measurements, which was 1996, there was no change in the summertime. But then the next year and the next 2 years after that, we saw an increase. We saw a speed up from 33 centimeters a day, a foot a day, to going about 25% faster. And now it's as much as tripling the speed in the summertime. Now, the significance of this is that it's a way for the climate change, increased melting, to get into the ice and to cause the ice to move faster.
This concept of having the effects of global warming getting into the glacier, people expected that, well, you would have the warming effects on the surface of the glacier. But now, with this meltwater, as you say, it's such an accurate description that the effects of global warming are penetrating into the glacier, and so tell us what effects that may lead to.
That's right. The glacier is thick ice, and it's 1,200 meters, multiplying that by 3 to get feet at the Swiss camp, and ice is a very poor conductor, so any temperature change at the surface takes thousands of years to propagate into the ice to make it flow faster, which is what warmer ice does. And so the climate processes are what we mentioned before. We have an increase in precipitation at the higher elevation. We have warming at the surface, which melts ice. But neither of these processes on the short term, hundreds of years, change the ice flow very much. But with the meltwater going to the bottom, what we've discovered happens is that, first of all, it does go to the bottom and cause the ice to speed up. So this then, over time, causes the thinning of the ice. It moves faster to the oceans, but it also carries heat down to the bottom. The temperature at the bottom is minus about a degree or so centigrade, and the water is flowing down at the freezing point, so of zero. So it carries heat down into the glacier, which then can also speed it up and increase the melting at the bottom.
It's the difference between walking on ice and walking on ice with water. You can't walk on ice with water. It's impossible because it's so ultra-slippery. And so that's from a layman's perspective here, that's the effect of this, is the fact that the glacier now is on a much slipperier surface, and as well the water is, there's warmer temperatures. Now we're talking about two different effects, and now let's kind of project out and talk about how this may manifest in terms of this rate. For example, we've talked about the fact that the rate has doubled in the last 6 years. Do you expect that there is going to be an increasing in the rate of change? In other words, could we get to a tripling or a quadrupling in the future? Is that something you're talking about?
Well, I think the honest answer to that is that we don't know. First of all, this process that we're talking about here of the melt acceleration, we have new measurements. We're expanding those measurements, but we're still only looking at a small part of the ice sheet. And we don't know whether this is going to be sort of a linear increase or what sort of feedback effects they will have. Also, this acceleration of glaciers. The other way that climate does affect ice is we talked about how the floating ice disappears. Well, Matt, the floating ice can be affected by warmer ocean temperatures. So when the ocean warms and brings warm water underneath the floating ice tongue, and this is why we think the Jakobshavn Glacier has started to thin, that's another way of having climate having a very direct effect and fast effect on the glacier dynamics. But we don't know. I mean, some of these processes, the melt acceleration, we've only discovered that. The first paper was published in 2002, and now scientists are trying to incorporate this process into models better to predict the effect of it. The glacier accelerations that we've seen in the satellite radar over the last 5 years, we don't really know why that's happening. We think that this melt water getting to the bottom of the glacier may be causing it to speed up, and some of them are being affected by ocean temperatures. And this is where field work comes in. We need to have the satellite measurements to look at the whole ice sheet. It's very misleading to just go to one or two places with an aircraft or with surface measurements and you see something happening, and then people tend to go to places where changes are taking place. But we need the comprehensive measurements from satellite. But we also need these field studies of the detailed processes so that we understand more about the mechanisms. So briefly, we're learning about some new processes that are affecting the ice flow and just how these will quantitatively affect the ice sheet and the predictions of change over the next century. We're still learning.
Well, that's what everybody is now discussing in the mainstream media, which is actually a good thing. These kinds of things are being discussed and brought to the public's attention because, quite honestly, these could have dramatic effects. Certainly, that's what we're all sort of beginning to think about, the effects of global warming or global weirding or whatever it is. Ultimately, why should anybody really be concerned about what's happening in Greenland in relationship to these glaciers in other parts of the world? What possible consequence could there be?
Well, the primary consequence of a decrease in Greenland is an increase in sea level. And sea level is currently rising about 1 foot every 100 years. So that's about an inch and a third every 10 years. And this is faster than it has risen over the last century. And even that rate of sea level rise is of concern in coastal areas. So that's one impact. And this rate very well could double so that we could be looking at a couple of feet, 3 feet or more over the next 100 years. And then if the process continues over several centuries, we could be talking about quite a few feet of sea level rise.
But then some people are suggesting that there could be more dramatic changes as well. For example, as the melting increases, that there's possibilities of structural failure, so to speak, a tipping of the balance, and having, for example, big chunks of glacier moving suddenly into the ocean. It's happened before. What do you see as the prospects that could be something in the future for Greenland?
Well, this is something that happened during the end of the last ice age. There was an ice sheet 15,000 years ago in North America that's even larger than the present Antarctic ice sheet. And during the breakup of that, there was a large amount of ice that came out of Hudson Bay into the North Atlantic in a relatively short period of time, 100 years or so. And this had drastic effects on the ocean circulation and cooling of the North Atlantic and so forth. But the configuration of Greenland is now such that most of Greenland, the bedrock, is just about at sea level. So we don't have this configuration of ice below sea level like we did in the Hudson Bay, or like we do have in West Antarctica. So Greenland is not likely to go through a massive breakup of sliding into the ocean in a short period of time. It's going to go through more of an acceleration of what's happening now, melting at the edges and some outlet glaciers.
So when we hear figures of 21 feet, we don't have to start worrying about that yet, do we?
No, we don't have to worry about 21 feet now. The number to worry about over the next century is measured in feet, but we do have a long-term interest in what happens. I was on Fox Radio a few weeks ago, and somebody on there was saying, oh, give me a break. I mean, we're going to have 5-10 feet of sea level rise over the next 1,000 years. Mm. Why are we concerned about the next 1,000 years? It's important to keep things in perspective. The birth of Christ was 2,000 years ago, and suppose Christ had said, we don't have to worry about things 1,000 years from now.
Yeah, right.
But 100 years is, some of our children that are being born today may be alive then.
Well, of course, the question is, to what degree do you feel that these changes are being brought about by global warming?
Oh, I think it's very definite that we're seeing the effect of global warming on the Greenland ice sheet. The climate models have always predicted that the warming would be largest in the Arctic regions, and that is, in fact, what we're seeing.
Right. The predictions about what would happen are actually happening, literally all over the world. You've also been to, like, Mount Kilimanjaro, for example, and some people are suggesting that that glacier may be gone. Mount Kilimanjaro may be a dry rock. 10 years from now, is there validity to statements like that?
Well, there's no question that the glaciers on Kilimanjaro have receded dramatically, but that particular glacier is in sort of a unique position. It's very close to the equator, and there's other factors that are affecting that in addition to the direct temperature effect. So there's things like deforestation in the area and changes. So Kilimanjaro is not one of the best examples of the impact of climate warming because it's more complicated. But there's numerous glaciers around the world, ice caps in Peru and Alaska, the Alps, and almost all of these are receding dramatically.
So the effect is we are witnessing those changes, decreasing of glaciers globally. That tends to be the trend, and you're saying as well it's due as a direct result, as much as we can surmise, by global warming.
The small glaciers around the world are definitely decreasing, and these are correlated with temperature measurements, and we know the impact of temperature on these glaciers, and so that is a very definite relationship. We haven't talked about Antarctica, though.
Go ahead.
Antarctica is a different situation. It's colder in Antarctica, and most of the surface of the grounded ice in Antarctica is below freezing, even in the summertime. So one of the primary effects on Antarctica, the effects of climate change over the next century, may be growth. We still don't have really good estimates of how much Antarctica is losing now. We're seeing a lot of impacts. We're seeing decreases in some of the ice shelves down there, which are related to climate warming, and this will have long-term impacts. But over the next century, we're probably not going to see a dramatic change in Antarctica. To the question of what to do about this, well, there's a lot of things we should do that make good economic sense, even if we didn't believe in climate warming. But we need to decrease the amount of CO2 emissions in particular. We need to decrease the burning of fossil fuels, which is the primary cause of that. we need to do this for all the reasons of what is happening around the world. The increase in intensity of hurricanes is now being fairly well linked scientifically to climate warming. That is really a serious impact. And there's all sorts of impacts that we're going to see. We're seeing people in Greenland and in the Arctic regions changing their lifestyle because of what's happening to climate, and that's going to become more of a widespread phenomenon around the world. We're going to be changing the way we do things because of climate warming unless we do something about it.
It'd be fun to hear what your thoughts are in terms of what you think are some of the critical, most critical actions that we should be looking at in the future.
Well, we need to reduce our dependence on burning fossil fuels. We need to develop new technology for developing ethanol from biomass, not only the corn, but from wood chips and other things which are neutral with regard to CO2, putting CO2 in the atmosphere. If we burn, say, wood chips, for example, we're burning things that come from trees that are taking carbon dioxide out of the air. And then when we put it back in, that's neutral. But when we're burning fossil fuels, oil and coal, it's a one-way thing. We're putting it into the atmosphere. And all sorts of energy efficiency, just energy efficiency in cars and trucks and air conditioners are big things that we can do to cut down the use of fossil fuels.
Kind of the things we've been talking about for at least 30 years. It's just now gaining some currency, which is important because it's literally staring us in the face at this point. From your perspective, with the folks that you run with, scientific community around the world and others, we have China coming online, and do you think we're going to be able to make this turn? Or what can we, you know, how can we get the world as well? You see this coming together? I personally do. I think people are becoming very aware of the fact that this is a critical thing that not only should we do, but we can do.
Well, I think that's happening. There's a growing realization, but we've had an enormous setback in the last 10 years. The setback has come because, well, 10 years ago, there was a growing belief, I think, in the, I would meet people in airplanes and they say, yes, we've heard about climate warming, and we think that this is happening because of man's activity and so forth. But there's been a big setback, and this has come because various institutes that are funded perhaps by the oil companies have put out a lot of disinformation. I mean, I talk to so many people and they say, oh, this is just natural variability. We don't have to worry about this. We know that climate's changed in the past, and we don't need to do anything about it. So we've got to overcome this. And I think that perhaps in the last year, and largely probably due to the fact that we're seeing temperatures rise above the noise level. So we're seeing a definite rise in temperature. We're seeing these things happening in Greenland and around the world. People are starting to pay attention, and we need to overcome this negative disinformation that's put out.
Well, that's what we're doing right now. We're trying to talk the truth here and explain the basis of why these things are so important. Dr. Jay Zwali, who's with the NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center, whose specialization is in the cryospheric sciences, I really want to thank you for giving us this insight into your work and lending your voice here on the Wild Side News.
Well, it's been a pleasure to talk with you.
And that's the way it is, summer 2006. Which is less than a week away from the 4th of July. Now have fun, and be sure your pets and other creatures do too. Coming up, How to Stay Friends with Fido on the 4th. Be right back.
I'm getting a catcher's mitt.
I'm getting ice skates.
I'm getting a jigsaw puzzle.
I'm getting dying coral reefs.
A blue bicycle.
A walkie-talkie.
I'm getting a severe drought.
Cool black skateboard.
I'm getting melted ice caps.
A killer heat wave.
A shrinking glacier.
I'm getting a devastating flood.
Adults are generous. We're even giving kids global warming. But it's not too late. We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. Go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.